Now, would you swap a steak dinner for a burger grown in a lab, or maybe pasta made from bacterial flour created by scientists? It sounds like in the future, but it's not, according to the environmentalist George Monbiot. Before long, most of what we eat won't come from animals or plants, but from what he calls farm-free foods. Some researchers predict the collapse of the livestock industry within a couple of decades, and supporters say lab-grown food will help to save the planet. Here is a clip of George's documentary, Apocalypse Cow. It was on the other night on Channel 4.
Britain was once covered with trees, but it's been farmed so extensively and for so long that we've forgotten how rich our ecosystems once were. Now, the rest of the world is catching up. Agriculture today is by far the biggest driver of global deforestation.
We need to absorb carbon from the atmosphere, and the trees are the natural carbon sponges that exist all around us.
Now, I've been speaking to the animal rights and environment campaigner Daniel Barkley and the commentator Andre Walker, and I asked Andre if he would eat it.
Well, I think it really depends. The technology of lab-grown meat is improving. It's not very good at the moment. It's relatively expensive and tends to use up quite a lot of energy. But I think the most important thing here is about choice. What we see increasingly is attempts to force people to make these decisions. I think what we need to be able to do is develop the quality of lab meat, but also allow people to enjoy the great meat that's produced from animals, including the stuff that comes from Northern Ireland. And by the way, I should say, all my local supermarkets, apparently, all of the pork comes from Northern Ireland. I think it's very good quality.
Well, there you go. I had no idea that we were so prolific in our production of pork. But put it like this, Andre, you say you refer to people being forced in terms of what they can eat. But where is that coming into play? Surely this is just about choice. So if you want to have another option, it is there. If you believe that, for whatever reason is behind that, you want to choose a certain meat or something grown in a lab, you can do so if you want.
No, not really. There is always an attempt, because veganism and vegetarianism is about animal welfare or animal rights, as much as it is a food choice, there's always an attempt to push that onto other people. There's a great example, actually, about the fact that most primary schools across the country don't have the ability, because they have small kitchens, to have multiple food options. And therefore, you'll remember that sometime in the past there was a scandal that most primary schools were serving halal meat. The reason for that is that somebody like me, who's a general meat eater, doesn't mind whether my meat's halal or not, but obviously for a Muslim, they require halal meat. Well, of course, now, because there is a protection of ethical vegans, increasingly what we'll see is the average primary school going vegan. And so if you want your child to eat meat, if you think it's important for them for a balanced diet, that is something that's going to come to an end.
So again, you're suggesting that there are many primary schools, correct me if I'm wrong here, that are going vegan.
Well, there's certainly an increasing number.
Okay, well, it's not something I was aware of, but that's maybe a different discussion.
But let me explain. That will increase more because, of course, now we've had the ruling about the fact that ethical veganism is something that needs to be protected under law.
Okay, let's bring in Daniel at this point. What do you reckon?
Choice, it's a funny word when you consider that there's a particular victim in all of this that doesn't get a choice. It basically has our will forced upon them. They don't want to die. The issue isn't really veganism with all this stuff. It's actually environmental. It's better for the environment for schools to go vegan. Talk about things being forced onto people. That's not the case. When you look at all the ads for meat and dairy every single day on every bus stop and every billboard and supermarket flyers, how's that not forcing that agenda onto people? Balanced diet. It's endorsed by the NHS in their booklet for new parents from birth to five, and that a vegan diet is completely acceptable, completely valid, and 100% healthy, like any diet if done properly.
We mentioned in that cue there that some researchers predict the collapse of the livestock industry within a couple of decades, and supporters say that this lab-grown food will help to save the planet. So what do you do with farmers? Do you reallocate these people, farmers for generations and generations, and you're just going to tell them, well, look, now you've got to do something else?
Many of those farmers, Vinny, I don't know if you watch the Channel 4 programme that sort of raised all this, but many of those farmers have actually transitioned, and there's subsidies for that transition from livestock to vegetation. People still need to eat, and veganism is based on a plant-based diet, therefore we need plants.
So subsidies...
need plants to eat, so farmers still grow their plants.
You say that there's subsidies there that are available if farmers want to make that transition now. So you're saying to a farmer in Northern Ireland that's maybe getting the message from some that their industry, their job is not sustainable, it's damaging the planet, they should move, they should change, and you're saying there is enough help out there for them to make that move without ending up unemployed?
I'm not necessarily saying there's enough at the minute, but the reason for that is there's not enough. Farming seems to be protected from scrutiny and from responsibility. There seems to be this protective circle around farming that it cannot be touched, and that's detrimental to the farmers. It's basically burying your head in the sand, and then when the inevitable will happen, because it isn't sustainable. Veganism aside, environmentally, it isn't sustainable. We need more land than we actually have to produce the animals. It's not sustainable. They need to act now.
Okay.
That protective circle needs removed and lifted, and the help needs to increase.
Andre Walker, if these new lab-grown products were cheaper and healthier, say lower in fat, higher in protein, would that convince people to switch?
Well, yes, and remember, there's a lot of the problems that we have in farming is related to intensive farming that's caused because all of us are guilty of going for the cheapest product when we go into a supermarket. But look, there is one problem with the whole lab meat thing. Look, and we've seen it in various industries. What will happen is you are taking money from ordinary people and handing it to big tech companies. Now, that's fine. You may wish to do that, but if you look at something like, say, Uber, about the way that the taxi industry has been revolutionised, damaged, improved, but certainly changed significantly, that is what would happen to farming. And look, in terms of, I mean, I don't know a great deal about the environment, but then again, neither does George Monbiot. At least I don't claim to. But the idea that you're going to grow wheat and maize in the Lake District, I think, is pretty fanciful. The idea that there's some sort of plague of animals, and also in terms of shortage of land, I live in the southeast of England. It's one of the most densely populated places on Earth. You know, the whole of the United Kingdom is not short on land. There's just certain places. But in any case, we've imported food for many years. There's no particular expectation that we'll be self-sufficient. The only people who believe in farming self-sufficiency are the BNP and the Green Party.
We mentioned the word choice, Andre, and some people will say, well, we maybe don't have that much choice. World population will be around 10 billion by 2050. So that's within our generation.
Well,
so how do we feed them? How do we feed them all? Like that programme says there may only be 60 years of harvest left. So is there really a choice, or do we have to take some kind of action and take it now?
The great religious leader, Thomas Malthus, who suggested that we would run out of food, I think about 150 years ago. The reason why he was completely wrong was that technology improved. And actually, you see this with the Green Lobby. Just like Malthus himself, what they want to do is revert back to previous generations and halt the spread, the improvement of technology. The fact of the matter is that we will not run out of food, just as we haven't run out in the past. The real risk here is by moving to less intensive farming methods, damaging and undermining the farming industry. I mean,
yeah.
Look, whether you like organic food or not, if we all go organic, that will cause a significant problem. If we get rid of GM crops, that will cause potentially a problem. But also the idea that it is healthy for the natural environment to not have animals grazing and to have no manure spread onto the fields is also nonsense.
But again, the reason that manure is put onto the fields is to encourage further growth of whatever crops or grass or whatever is put in there.
But Vinny, if there's no manure, there's nothing to spread. I mean, look.
Okay.
You know,
in terms of the mindset, Andre, when it comes to what you eat, because some people can be, you know, they want to know where their food has been sourced. How do you feel about eating food that is literally grown in a lab? It's through a process, a chemical process that then leads to these different products being formed and then that food being made from that. You know, would that bother you? Is that something that you would give much thought to?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. It's really funny. One of my best friends, believe it or not, owns a vegan food company. And actually what I tend to find is with his vegan hamburgers, I'm very badly put off by the fact that it appears to be one thing, but is actually made of something else, even though, you know, apparently it's healthier or whatever.
Looks like a burger, but it's not made out of meat.
Yeah, that's right. The product I like out of his range is the sort of burger that you can tell is made of veg, and it's called the True Veg Burger. I don't like the whole idea of biting into something and it not being what I expect it to be. Whether I would have a problem with lab meat, I don't know, but in general terms, I have found it off-putting in the past.
And Daniel, I think you can give us more of an insight into that, Daniel, the perceptions, that mind thing that we have, and maybe the way they try and bridge that so that we're happy to eat something that we think in some ways is meat but isn't actually.
You see, all right, so on that, the obvious answer to that is, you know, he's eating bacon, he's eating a steak. Does that look like what it is? Absolutely not. The reason it doesn't look like it is because nobody would tuck into a full-sized pig or anything. They don't want to know what it actually is.
I don't know.
It's cognitive dissonance. You call it bacon, you call it steak, but yeah. You actually have a real issue with people calling a vegan burger a burger. Oh, it's not burger, it's not a cheese. But you know you're not eating a pig shaped like a pig. You're having slices of it, so it makes it more palatable for you. So that's nonsense.
The reason meat is named the way it's named has got nothing to do with trying to hide the fact it's meat. The actual reason, if you want the geek fact, is that when the Normans came over, they used the French title for food, beef and pork, rather than the English title, pig and cow.
And what about bacon?
I don't know. I mean, I've given you the entomology of beef and pork.
It works for a couple, but most people won't eat what it looks like. They don't want to know what it looks like. It's cognitive dissonance. Now, not consciously, but they try. And the same people then will have an issue with vegan cheese. Oh, it's not cheese. Behave yourselves. That's just a ridiculous sort of mind.
It's funny because I was out for dinner the other night, right, and there was a few of us there. Someone had ordered the beef and a plate was brought down and they said, do you want to try it? And I said, yeah, and ate it and thought, well, that's all right. And then about 5 minutes later, I realised there was an order mixed up and it was actually duck. And when I ate what I thought was beef, my brain did not tell me that does not taste like beef. I thought it was beef. So I get what you're saying, Daniel, in that there's
you
that. But I was surprised because I don't like duck. But the beef, what I thought was beef, I thought that tastes all right. Yeah, I'm waiting on my chicken, but yeah, your beef is fine. And it wasn't beef at all.
I don't know what restaurant you went to that you mix up fucking. I just want to mention the economic point, because obviously there's been a lot of concern recently about Northern Irish exports with the whole Brexit thing. Now, you know, I'm not going to dwell on that, but Northern Ireland is a big food producer for the United Kingdom. And obviously, if we are going to transition to lab meat, that's going to cause a significant problem for the Northern Irish economy. And it's something that we've got to keep an eye on. And what I don't want to see happen is, you know, Northern Ireland to be plunged into poverty over this issue. And the way you do that is to give people genuine choice. Those of us that want to continue eating steak, and those people that want to seek alternatives. I don't disagree with the concept that we probably eat too much meat. But the idea that many vegans have of banning meat completely, I think is dangerous.
Again, it's not vegan, it's environmental, and a way to do it isn't just eat less meat. The way to do it is, as I said, take your heads out of the sand, realise that the inevitable is going to happen, and start making preparations now. We don't have the time. The planet is at massive risk. We're about to hit a point of irreparable damage where the species will just go into a massive decline along with the planet.
I remember Al Gore saying that we had 10 years to cut our carbon emissions, otherwise the Earth was going to be destroyed. He said that in 2006.
Okay, we'll have to leave it at that. Okay, we're back tomorrow morning. Nicola Weir from our own Nolan family is on Farming Matters tonight, 6 to 7. Apparently more farming than you can shake a stick at. Until tomorrow, bye-bye.